morning. Happy Sabbath. I don't think the devil is too happy with Army Bible Camp. We see so many things happening. Anything that can go wrong seems to be going wrong. But we know that His Spirit is here and God is working. Before I go into our presentation this morning, I just want to say a few things relating to the message I shared yesterday morning. I talked about the importance of dying to self. And for those of you who made that commitment to die to self, I'm assuming that you experienced much failure yesterday. Dying to self is not something that we can do. Ellen White says that no man can empty himself of self. We can only consent for Christ to accomplish the work. Then the language of the soul will be, Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it for thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak, unchristlike self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere where the rich current of thy love can flow through my soul. I want to encourage you to memorize this prayer. I pray this prayer several times throughout the day. Start your day with this prayer so that Christ can keep you on the cross. As you die to self, what you will see in your life is more humility. Amen. There's this definition of humility that I came across that I really like. Humility is when you are treated like a servant and you act like a servant. Isn't that beautiful? I've been tremendously blessed by Andrew Murray's book, Humility. And I want to share with you just a paragraph. Let us ask whether we have learned to regard a reproof, just or unjust, a reproach from friend or enemy, trouble or difficulty into which others bring us, as above all, an opportunity of proving how Jesus is all to us. Amen. He's saying if Jesus is everything, you know what? It doesn't matter what people say. Because we have no reputation, we have no life of our own. It is an opportunity to prove how our own pleasure or honor are nothing, and how humiliation is truly what we take pleasure in. It is indeed blessed. It is the deep happiness of heaven to be so free from self that whatever is said about us or done to us is lost and swallowed up in the thought that Jesus is all. I highly recommend this book. I've read it. It freed me up so much. I'm no longer concerned so much or as much as I used to about what people think, about the mistakes I make. Self-reflecting on the past, it's been liberating, and my wife started reading the book, and it's like I got a new wife. So I recommend this book. Right. Well, Andrew Murray. Pardon me? I have a book. It's got six of his books all compiled in there, so I'm not sure, you know, what the exact page number is. Before I get into the presentation for this morning, let's bow our heads for another word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. I thank you, O God, that you desire to come live in our lives, that you desire to be all and in all. Lord, speak to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to learn how to live lives that bring honor and glory to you. Teach us, Lord, about faith this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you, I want to begin this morning with one of my favorite stories about prayer. It's from the life of George Mueller. After George Mueller reaches 70 years of age, instead of retiring, he began to travel internationally in a day and age where you travel by ship and by train and by buggy. And once as he was crossing, he would travel to share about God's faithfulness and about his ministry with the orphanages. And once as he was crossing the Atlantic, his ship encountered a fog. And I want to read you the story as told by the ship captain. We had a man of God on board, George Mueller of Bristol. I had been on the bridge for 22 hours and never left it. I was startled by someone tapping me on the shoulder. It was Mueller. Captain, I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon. Impossible, I exclaimed. I have never broken an engagement in 50 years, he replied. I answered, I am willing, but I am helpless. We are in a fog. Let us go down to the chart room and pray, said George Mueller. I looked at him and I thought to myself, what lunatic asylum could the man have come from? I never heard of such a thing. I said, Mr. Mueller, do you know how dense the fog is? What do you think this man of God said in reply to this question? How dense, do you know how dense the fog is? Good answer. I once asked this question to a group of young people, and one man said, fog? What fog? Mr. Mueller, do you know how dense the fog is? No, he replied. My eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. Amen. He got down on his knees and prayed a most simple prayer. Oh Lord, if it is consistent with thy will, please remove this fog in 5 minutes. Thou knowest the engagement thou made for me in Quebec for Saturday. I believe it is thy will. When he finished, I was going to pray. But he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. First, you do not believe he will. And second, I believe he has. And there is no need to pray. According to the ship captain, the fog lifted as Mueller had requested, but the weather wasn't the only thing that cleared up that day. The captain also reported that the event completely revolutionized the whole of my life. What a testimony. I would love to have the kind of faith that George Mueller had. How about you? Prayer and faith are closely allied, and they need to be studied together. In the prayer of faith, there is a divine science. It is a science that everyone who would make his life work a success must understand. Without faith, you're wasting your time on your knees in prayer. James Frazier, a missionary that followed Hudson Taylor to China, said that praying without faith is like trying to cut with a blunt knife. Much labor expended to little purpose. What does the Bible say about faith? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you want to live a life that pleases God? Amen. Friends, we've got to learn to move forward in faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Wow. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Guess what? We can learn to study the Word of God. But if we want the Word of God, which is living and powerful, to sanctify our lives, we need faith. Amen?
Amen.
Luke 18:8. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? In the last days, when Jesus comes, friends, faith is going to be a rare commodity. I like what Hannah Whittle Smith says in her book, The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. By the way, I recommend that book too. If you want to learn about living the life of faith where Jesus is all, you've got to read that book, with The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. She says, our Lord asked the pathetic question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He will find plenty of activity, a great deal of earnestness, and doubtless many consecrated hearts. But shall he find faith, the one thing he values more than all the rest? It is a solemn question, and I would that every Christian heart would ponder it well. Ellen White says, we may expect large things, even the deep movings of the Spirit of God, if we have faith in his promises. You know, I thank God this morning. We had 80 people here praying at the morning prayer meeting. It was beautiful. I believe God was in our midst. and we were experiencing the deep movings of His Spirit. Tomorrow is our last morning, and I just want to invite you, just if you have not been coming, just to experience it once. Just wake up a little earlier, and if you have to skip that shower, just come here and join us. Amen. Our greatest sin is unbelief in God. Wow. In Matthew 13:58, it says, now He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus could not do much in Nazareth because of their unbelief. And I wonder, is Jesus not able to do much in your home because of your unbelief? Is He not able to do much in your church because of your unbelief? Is He not able to do mighty things in your community because of your unbelief? Every failure on the part of the children of God is due to their lack of faith. Wow. Imagine what we can accomplish for God if we were to move forward in faith. So what is faith? Faith is believing, but faith is more than believing. Faith is trusting in God, but faith is more than trusting in God. I think it's difficult in one sentence to say exactly what faith is. So anyways, I've collected a number of different definitions of faith. And as I go through these definitions or these descriptions of faith, I want you to ask yourself, am I, according to any of these descriptions, am I living by faith? Amen. The first is an acronym. Faith is an acronym for forsaking all, I take Him. Forsaking all would include forsaking your plans, amen? By the way, it's been said that if you want to make God laugh, what can you do? You tell Him your plans. Okay? Okay. By the way, I shared yesterday, what was Christ's requirement when He was on earth? Leave all, sell all, forsake all. Friends, we also need to forsake our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How we fail to trust God with all our hearts because we're just leaning on our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Amen. Faith is also an acronym for fantastic adventures in trusting Him. Are you on a journey? Can you say that you are on a fantastic adventure? I love this promise. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Okay? The individual that gets to taste and see that the Lord is good is the one that trusts in Him. Amen. Trust the Lord. He will lead you. And the Lord will take you on a journey, an incredible journey, full of adventure. Ellen White says, faith is trusting God, believing that He loves us and knows best what is for our good. Thus, instead of our own, it leads us to choose His way. Now, I really like what George Mueller has to say about faith. I believe this man of God understood what faith was all about. He says, in the simplest manner in which I am able to express it, I answer, faith is the assurance that the thing which God has said in His word is true and that God will act according to what He has said in His word. This assurance, this reliance on God's word, this confidence is faith. Amen. He's not done. He says, no impressions are to be taken in connection with faith. Impressions have neither one thing nor the other to do with faith. Faith has to do with the word of God. By the way, I know a lot of you are taking notes. Some of you have asked me about certain quotes. I'm willing, if you're interested in getting a copy of all my notes and the PowerPoint presentations, I'm willing to email them to you. At our exhibit, there is a newsletter sign-up sheet in the back. If you fill out your name, email address, and if you will check the box that says, I would like to be a prayer partner, because our ministry runs by prayer. Yes. Okay, but I also want their information. And I'm making this available to those who are willing to be prayer partners for our ministry. I will be happy to email you all the files. Probabilities are not to be taken into account. Many people are willing to believe regarding these things that seem probable to them. Faith has nothing to do with probabilities. The province of faith begins where probabilities cease and sight and sense fail. Our ministry, we just made the decision to hire an office manager because the volume of work is growing. We're doing well in this fiscal year, more thus far than what has come in any previous fiscal year. We don't know about next year, though, but we're moving forward because God has made it so clear to us that he wants us to move forward. Amen. How often in church, at board meetings, do we make decisions about projects based on what? Finances. Okay. Is that faith? No. We accomplish so little for God because there is no faith. Appearances are not to be taken into account. The question is whether God has spoken it in his word. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I think what George Mueller says is very consistent with what Scripture says. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay. Every year, our ministry plans a short-term mission trip over to Southeast Asia. And you know what? The number one reason I hear over and over again for why people cannot join us is it's money. And I want to say, no, just step out in faith. Okay, the question is not how much you have in the bank. The question is, does God want me to go there? Once you understand, once God speaks to you through his word and through other people and makes it clear that God wants you to go, you just start packing your bags. Amen. And trust that the money will come. Amen. Okay? By the way, the best place to be in the world, friends, the best place to live in the world, the best place to work in the world is right where God wants you to be. When you're right there, you'll start seeing blessings come. It's been said that prayers are answered along the pathway of God's will. You walk along that pathway, and you'll just see answers to prayer. Showers of blessing. In Matthew 8:10, it says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Who was Jesus speaking about? Centurion. Do you remember the story? Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. What would you have said? Oh yeah, Jesus, come, please come. You are the great physician. You need to lay your hands on my sick servant. Because that's what a physician would do, right? But what did the centurion say? The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. All I need is your word. And my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Faith is the assurance that the thing which God has said in his word is true and that God will act according to what he has said in his word. This assurance, this reliance on God's word, this confidence in his faith. What I do for my morning devotions is I'm on a Bible reading plan that I got from Amazing Facts. It allows you to spend some time in the Old Testament, in the New, some time in the Psalms or the Proverbs, and it allows you to read through the whole Bible in a year. And George Mueller also recommends that you read through the whole Bible in a year so that you understand the whole of God's revealed will. And as I read through every promise, I say, Lord, thank you for your promise. I claim this promise, Lord. And I just dialogue with God as I'm reading through. And you know, I just find that to be a great blessing. And there are times where I just know that God is speaking to me because I've been praying over certain things. And when there's that promise, I say, God, I just thank you. And so I find that to be very beneficial for my morning devotional time. So I share that with you so that if you want to bring more prayer into your Bible reading or your devotional time, that's one way you can do that. How would you like to have your faith increased? The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. How much faith would you like? Yes. What if we could have just enough faith the size of a mustard seed? I would be so happy if I had that much faith. Amen? Amen. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm glad this conference is inspiring you to spend time, much time in the word of God. Faith is nurtured by the word of God. Ellen White says, if you want faith, talk hopefully, cheerfully. Okay? Get that negative talk. Get that murmuring and complaining out. Okay, friends, as was shared yesterday, we are on the borders of the promised land. Okay? Many could not enter in because of their murmuring and complaining. Friends, we need to talk faith. I love this. C.T. Studd was a missionary that followed Hudson Taylor to China. He later went on to India to serve as a missionary, later to Africa. Funds are low again. Hallelujah. That means God trusts us and is willing to leave his reputation in our hands. This is faith talk. How are you doing financially? Are you like, I don't know how I'm going to make it to the next month? Is that faith talk? No. I don't have the money, but my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he has promised to supply all my needs. Let us take heed to our words. Let us talk faith, and we shall have faith. Never give place to a thought of discouragement in the work of God. Never utter a word of doubt. It is as seed sown in the heart of both speaker and hearers to produce a harvest of discouragement and unbelief. You know people who are always discouraged? Stay away from them. Ditch them. Just pray for them. Okay? It's not going to help you to hang out with such people, okay? One of the devil's most effective tools is discouragement, doubt and discouragement to bring Christians down. Take the word of Christ as your assurance. Has he not invited you to come unto him? Never allow yourself to talk in a hopeless, discouraged way. If you do, you will lose much. By looking at appearances and complaining, when difficulties and pressure come in, you give evidence of a sickly, enfeebled faith. Talk and act as if your faith was invincible. The Lord is rich in resources. He owns the world. Look heavenward in faith. Look to him who has light and power and efficiency. I like the first line. By looking at appearances and complaining, when difficulties and pressure come in, you give evidence of a sickly, enfeebled faith. What did George Mueller say? Faith has nothing to do with appearance. Matthew 9:29. He heals, he gives sight to these blind men, and he says, according to your faith, let it be to you. Friends, understand, it's according to your faith. Great faith, great blessing. Little faith, little blessing. No faith, no blessing. Does this quote kind of sound familiar? Okay. Great prayer, great blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. It's the same with faith. Do you want to experience great blessing in your life? We need to pray with faith. This is a beautiful story that illustrates the principle of according to your faith. Then Caleb, after the 12 spies came back, they're coming back to give a report. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen? But the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. In other words, according to your faith. The carcasses of which you have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. Wow. I will give you according to your faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to end with a story. It's one of my favorite stories. It's a personal story. My wife and I were here at Soquel a year ago for the camp meeting. And after camp meeting, we were going to go up to Washington, pack our bags, and then make our move out to Michigan, which is where our ministry is based. We were waiting for a while for a house to sell, but the house finally sold, and so we were planning on making our move after being here at camp meeting. For the few months prior to our move, we were praying for a home. Instead of making a pre-trip, finding a home, and then coming back, we said, Lord, we're just going to pray that when we move up there, you provide for us a nice little home that we can rent, a home that's close to our office, and we asked for a few other specific things. Well, we came here to camp meeting, and early Sabbath morning, Elder Paul Ratsara, who I mentioned a few days ago or the other day, the president of the Southern Africa Indian Ocean Division, the fastest growing division in the world, he was giving a talk about faith. Very similar to what I shared, because a lot of these quotes I jotted down as I was hearing his message. And he was talking about how we needed to move forward in faith and talk faith. And anyways, in his message, as he closed, he talked about Alexander the Great. Okay? He's known as the mighty conqueror. Okay? But what a lot of people don't know about Alexander the Great is that he was a very compassionate man. And every year, he would set aside one day where he would show his compassion to the people, and the people in his kingdom that had needs would come and line up. And they would come to his servant with various requests, and then the servant would take these requests to the king. The king would hear the request and would say the request is granted. People would come up with requests like, for food, our family needs food. So the servant would take that request to the king. Other requests, for medicine or for clothing. Well, this one individual approaches the servant and says, I would like a palace. I want a fully furnished palace. And I want a banquet table prepared so that I can invite all my friends and family. And the servant heard that and he goes, I don't think that is a good request. And did not want to take that up to the king. But the king was looking, and the king asked the servant to come over and asked the servant, what did this man request? And the servant says, King, you don't want to know about this. But the king insisted, and so the servant shared. And the king thought about that request, and the king says, I will grant that request. Servant was surprised. And servant said, why? And the king says, most of these people come to me with these little requests that other people can certainly fulfill. But only this man has come with a request that only I, as a king, can fulfill. This man makes me feel as though I am a king. Do you, with your requests, make God feel like he is a king? Ellen White says, he is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon him that they may glorify his name. They may expect large things if they have faith in his promises. So my wife heard that story. And she's like, Lord, I've been praying for a small home in Berrien Springs. But I'm going to pray for a palace now. Well, camp meeting was over. We drove back home. We packed up our bags and drove that U-Haul out. Took about 4 days, 4 nights. Got there on a Thursday evening. Stayed at a friend's home. Got up the next morning on Friday. We were going to go looking for that home, for that palace. My wife was a little discouraged, but she was reading her Bible, reading, I believe, Psalms 48 to 50, and she came across the word palace a couple of times. She comes running out to me, and she says, God is going to give us that palace. Amen. We stopped by the ASAP office, check our email, and then went to the local grocery store where they have a a bulletin board with a listing of different homes for rent. We checked out this one home. It was in need of a lot of repair. We said, this is not a palace. Make a long story short, I told my wife, you know, let's go check out these apartments. And the only reason I liked the apartments is because they were very nice and clean. But my wife did not care to move into an apartment because it's noisy and for other reasons. But we pulled in, and the mailman was there getting into his truck. And I asked him, do you know where the office is? And he says, the office is not here. It's located in downtown Barron Springs. But I just saw the owner go into that building. And so we said, oh, great. We'll go meet the owner. We went up to the building, noticed that the door was locked. But at that time, a tenant was entering in and opened the door for us. And we met the owner. And she says, well, I don't have anything available here, but I have a house for rent, which I'm only making available for a couple. Would you like to see it? So we said, sure. And so we followed her out. And we drive up and we pull out, and my wife's looking at this house and she's saying, this is the palace. And I'm like, maybe. We walked around, we checked out the house, and you know what? My prayer was, you know, I don't really care. You know, I could live in a shack. But I just wanted a place where people come and we could tell them about God's faithfulness. And where people will say, hey, you know what? Obviously, God gave this to you. This is from the back. We have a little dock. This is the view from the deck in the back. This is our flat screen TV. The view out of our living room. Friends, one morning I was having my devotions, and it was like God was saying to me, you can't outgive me. You can't outgive me. Okay. Friends, I work for this ministry. I receive a missionary salary, which is a little less than a pastor's salary. My wife works as a volunteer for two ministries, ASAP being one of the ministries. We have decided that we're going to give as much to God and not work for wages and just trust God. Amen. On top of that, when I left the seminary in 2004, we began giving a double tithe because we heard a professor talk about how you can't outgive God. And I looked at how God had blessed the professor's life and I said, wow, if that's what God's going to do, I'm going to try out giving that double tithe. Well, and we saw, and there were times where it's hard, where God just tests your faith because he wants to strengthen your faith and his trust in you. But God pulls you through and then just showers the blessings over and over again. Well, a few years later, I hear this missionary encouraging people to try giving God a double tithe for just 3 months. Try it and see what God does. And if God blesses you more, continue. Just try it for 3 months. And then he was saying, for those of you who are already given a double tithe, give God a triple tithe. If you really cannot outgive God, amen? Amen? And so my wife and I started praying about that. A few months before we moved out, we started giving God a triple tithe. So here we are. We live on one salary, a missionary salary. We give a tithe to the local church and our second and third tithe to missions. How do we make it through the month? By faith. Amen. Friends, we are learning. We are having opportunities to exercise our faith and learning to depend more on God, because guess what? One day, we're not going to be able to buy or sell. Yes, that's right. One day, we're going to have nothing. Okay? Guess what? Faith does not develop just overnight. Okay? Now, thank God for this economic downturn. It's a blessing. Okay? It has given us an opportunity to exercise faith. Okay? Friends, we collected a little offering yesterday. And I heard how much came in, and I said, wow, that's little. And I started thinking, man, what if we could collect an offering of something like $10,000? What if we just all stepped out in faith? Amen. Wouldn't that glorify God? Amen. Does it look impossible? Okay. We're going to collect another offering today during the divine service. But pray about it. Say, Lord, you know what I have. Okay. You know, just to hear a message and say, oh, I'm going to step out and I'm going to give $10,000 because you can't outgive God. That's presumption. Okay? Ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And if God says, I want you to give 100, move forward. If God says, I have blessed you with much, I want you to give 10,000. Please give 10,000. I want to show you a few more pictures. A little knot. There's a little knot in the tree there. That's the home of the squirrel. This is a squirrel. Must have had a rough day. Just wiped out. On our deck. Friends, through my flat screen TV, I get to enjoy seeing the glory of God. God has given us this home just to give us a foretaste of our home in heaven. And this home is a half mile walk to our office. The Lord worked that out.
Is that picture on Sabbath?
Pardon me?
Is that picture on Sabbath?
It could have been, yeah. We have groundhogs that come through our yard every now and then. It's another groundhog. Canadian geese to the ducks. You see the turtle there? Here's a close-up. Picture of sunset. Friends, God is good. We have a little less time this morning. I want to encourage you just to get into groups of twos or threes. And let's pray. Let's pray that God would help us to learn to talk faith and to think faith and to walk by faith. Let's also pray that God would bless that offering today that would be collected. Let's pray that God would bless that offering in a way so that we can all together see God move. And when you hear the singing, you'll know that it's time to wrap it up and you can join us in the singing.
Thank you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.